From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ed Morin with the news on This Day in Maine, Friday, December 27th, 2019.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Douglas Ridge, a new eco-conservation subdivision in Brunswick, dedicated to nature-centric sustainable home design. More at douglasridge.com.
A federal appeals court has ruled that President Obama acted within his authority when he created the country's first Atlantic Marine Monument off the coast of New England in 2016.
The fishermen have had the ocean all to themselves for centuries.
Peter Shelley, senior counsel for the Conservation Law Foundation in Boston, says the lawsuit challenging the Northeast Canyons and Seamounts National Monument and the presidential authority that created it failed to acknowledge other values such as conservation and preservation, as well as powers granted in the Antiquities Act of 1906. Shelley says the appeals decision is good news for a very delicate region of the Atlantic Ocean.
But it's also good news for other areas of great scientific interest that need to be protected from the destructive effects of fishing and oil and gas drilling and other sorts of development activities.
The ruling came in response to an appeal brought by members of the commercial fishing industry who challenged the creation of the monument. The groups argued that the Antiquities Act of 1906, which enabled the creation of monuments by executive order, could not have meant to include areas inside the country's exclusive economic zone, and that 200-mile zone was not established at the time. A U.S. District Court judge denied that argument and also cited that on three separate occasions the Supreme Court had already affirmed a president's power to create a monument on the seafloor. Today's decision by the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Washington, D.C., unanimously affirms those rulings. Jonathan Wood, an attorney with Pacific Legal Foundation, which represents the appellant, said in an email, "We're disappointed, but think the opinion is wrong. We'll need to consult with our clients to determine whether to appeal." A Maine man who said he was defending himself when he fatally shot his sister's boyfriend in a family fight is guilty of manslaughter. Justice Nancy Mills announced her verdict today in the trial of 25-year-old Mark Cardilli Jr. Witnesses testified that pandemonium broke out when Isahak Muse, who was dating Cardilli's 17-year-old sister, refused to leave the Portland home at the request of her parents. Cardilli testified that he shot Muse while defending himself in his home during the violent confrontation last March. An autopsy showed Muse was shot in the back. The Westrick School Department will receive $125,000 in federal grant money for substance abuse education. The Drug-Free Communities grant from the Office of National Drug Policy Control was announced today by 1st District Congresswoman Shelley Pinkry. Westbrook was the recipient of one of 42 grants awarded across the country. Republican Senator Susan Collins has said little publicly about the upcoming Senate impeachment trial of President Donald Trump. But pressure is mounting for Collins to take a public position on whether to remove the president from office and to use her political leverage to ensure a fair trial. Steve Missler has our story.
Collins has largely declined to discuss an impeachment process that could affect her re-election chances next year, citing her role as a juror in a Senate trial that will determine whether the president will be removed from office because of his controversial dealings with Ukraine. As expected, Collins has been criticized by Democrats seeking to defeat her next year. But now, a Republican group that opposes the president is also launching a pressure campaign on Collins and other swing state Republicans to ensure that the upcoming trial is thorough.
Key witnesses in the Ukraine scandal must testify in the Senate impeachment trial. These witnesses include Rudy Giuliani.
So you did ask Ukraine to look into Joe Biden?
Of course I did.
Mick Mulvaney.
The ad from the group Republicans for the Rule of Law is airing in Maine over the holidays. It's designed to get Collins to push for testimony from current and former White House advisors who could further implicate the president in an alleged scheme involving personal political favors in exchange for continued U.S. support for Ukraine as it battles Russian aggression. In another GOP group seeking to break Trump's grip on congressional Republicans, the Lincoln Project has also indicated that it's keeping close tabs on Collins and the trial. All of these efforts follow a recent declaration from Senate Leader Mitch McConnell on Fox News that strongly suggests Senate Republicans will favor loyalty to Trump over the call for a trial involving witnesses who the president blocked from testifying during the House impeachment inquiry.
And everything I do during this, I'm coordinating with White House counsel. There will be no difference between the president's position and our position as to how to handle this.
McConnell's statement complicates Collins' repeated vow to remain open to the facts in the case. She recently told a gaggle of reporters that she would not approach the trial the same way as her conference leader, but she stopped short of signaling that she would join Democrats calling for witnesses from the president's inner circle. Another centrist Republican, Alaska's Lisa Murkowski, has also pushed back on McConnell, telling TV station KTUU in Anchorage that she disagrees with his vow of total coordination with the White House.
And in fairness, when I heard that, I was disturbed.
Murkowski said that fellow Republicans should step back from working hand in glove with the White House if they intend to deliver impartial justice.
And so I heard what Leader McConnell had said. I happen to think that that has further confused the process.
Murkowski's comments quickly made national headlines, as political observers are seeking evidence of Republican defections in what has so far been a strident and rapidly changing GOP defense of Trump's conduct. Only four Republican senators are needed to join with Democrats to force McConnell to call more witnesses. Senators Murkowski and Collins, who are described as friends, are often viewed as persuadable. On Friday, Collins issued a statement that reiterated her promise to pursue impartial justice, but did not address Murkowski's comments or the question of whether she'll push for witnesses that the White House has so far blocked. Instead, she expressed hope that Senate leaders would negotiate the rules for the trial, just as Republicans and Democrats did when President Bill Clinton was impeached, but ultimately acquitted. Collins also says that pressure from the left and the right will have no influence on any of her decisions. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
This week, in partnership with Down East Magazine, we're bringing you stories of Maine centenarians as the state approaches its bicentennial. Elfrida Dumond of Fort Kent is 102 years old. She remembers the Acadian culture and rural lifestyle that defined her childhood in Arista County. But as the world around her has changed, Dumond chooses to look ahead instead of focusing on the past. Robbie Feinberg has more.
Elfrida Dumond doesn't have any secrets for longevity. At 102, draped with a big necklace and earrings, she's still surprised that she's made it this far.
I never thought I would get to this point, to that age. Oh, no, that's a surprise for me.
Dumond lives in a nursing home in Fort Kent, the same town where she grew up. She remembers her family's big house in the country, surrounded by chickens and cows.
When we was young, we used to go to pick berries, blueberries and strawberries. They don't have that good taste anymore. This is the best taste, those small ones. We used to go, my mom, and we'd get ready in the morning early, and we'd pick up probably the quarts of blueberries and strawberries.
At home, they'd enjoy simple pleasures.
My brother, he loves to dance. And he would go and get some of those big records and put them on there. And me, I always love music. So he'd take me and we'd dance together, you know, on the record. I can't say that we didn't live a good life. My mother never was a person that would ask for more. She was thankful all the time, thankful for what I have.
But at age 17, the Great Depression hit, and Dumond left for Connecticut to find work. She got a job at a hospital and didn't return to Fort Kent for nearly a decade. But then she became seriously ill. She developed a lesion on her lung and was sent to a sanitarium in Presque Isle. Dumont told her doctor that she thought her life was over.
Dad, I said, I think I'm going to die. And he said, no, you won't die. But he says, I give you 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and 5 years. If you do exactly what I tell you, he says, you could get out probably a little earlier. So I said, okay, what do you want me to do? He says, just lay down quiet, eat your meals. I said, I'm going to do that.
For 3 years, her life barely stretched beyond the walls of the sanitarium. Dumont says she followed the doctor's advice. She also prayed a lot. The experience helped define her outlook on life, which she still follows today.
I don't live for what's gone by me. I live what's coming, the future, and the future of a good future.
Not long after she was released from the sanitarium, a friend of Dumont's family stopped by their house in Fort Kent. Soon after they met, he asked her on a date.
I met him in May, and we got married in August.
They raised 7 kids in Aroostook County and now have 17 grandkids. Dumont says as the decades have passed, she's seen northern Maine change. She laments the lack of work that's forced many young people to leave. And she worries about the future of the Acadian culture and language that were so prevalent in her youth.
Yeah, the culture's changed with the French. But at my time, when we used to go to school, we couldn't talk French. They would push you to talk English. But our culture was French. So we talked French. We didn't know how to talk English. So I learned my English when I went away to Connecticut.
Her daughter Linda tells her that she wished she'd pushed harder to preserve the language.
It should have been my children's first language. I didn't appreciate it till I was a little older, realizing what a gift I had.
Every time I talked to them, they would answer me in English. I talked to them in French. Answer me in
English. She did the same to our grandchildren. Say,
answer me French. Yeah. You know, I would say that.
But despite the changes that she's seen, Dumont is content. At the nursing home, she wakes up at 5:30 each morning, exercises, and says her prayers. And at age 102, decades removed from the most difficult years of her life, Dumont says she now feels at peace. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
Time now for a look at the Maine weather forecast with meteorologist Paul Cousins.
The warm front and attendant storm will clear the state prior to midnight, precipitation ending overall but the mountains, where snow showers will resume pre-dawn. Clouds scatter north, clearing for the majority, 23 to 34 north to south. Tomorrow, lovely, unseasonably warm and breezy, 32 in Fort Kent, 41 in Bangor, 48 in Berwick. Skies will be partly cloudy over northern Maine and the mountains, with flurries drying up by noon over the higher terrain, mostly sunny for the remainder of the state. Sunday, the eastern two-thirds of the state will enjoy abundant sun. For the remainder, bright morning sun will fade later in the afternoon, 24 to 41 north to south. This next storm has some very long legs, a multi-day affair. Snow will press into the southwestern third of Maine after midnight, expanding across the entire southern half of the state Monday. Northern Maine, mostly cloudy. Snow likely substantial, with mixtures Portland-Otisfield south, 21 to 33 north to south. The storm will loiter about Tuesday, pressing north to the crown of Maine. Mixtures with rain and sleet along the entire coastal plain seem probable. This is meteorologist Paul Cousins.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Have a great weekend. I'm Ed Morin.